Welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Mike is a well-known keynote speaker, personal development expert, and the best-selling author of the book titled Focus on the Good Stuff and Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mike delivers life-enhancing speeches, seminars, and workshops throughout the United States and Canada, and has inspired tens of thousands through his speaking, coaching, and writing.
Hey, welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. Glad to have you here with us live here on a beautiful day in San Francisco. What's the day today? Today is the 19th of February. It's 2 p.m. Pacific time if you're listening to us live. Glad to have you. Very excited about today's show. We have a very exciting guest who's going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about some good stuff. I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about, and then when we get her on, I'll introduce her more formally. But today's show is really about feminine power, which you might be wondering, who am I to talk about feminine power? Well, I was raised by a single mom. I have two older sisters. I am married to a beautiful, amazing woman. I have two incredible daughters. Even our cats are female. So, you know, for not being a woman, I've got about as much cred as one could have to be talking about feminine power. And our guest who will be joining us here in a little bit, who's an incredibly busy woman, we're excited to get her on the phone shortly, is Marianne Williamson, who I know many of you have heard of and probably read many of her books or seen her on Oprah or Larry King, Good Morning America, the whole nine yards. She's written so many best-selling books, Return to Love, The Age of Miracles. She is putting together a conference in Los Angeles that's happening next weekend, February 26, 27, 28, called Sister Giant. And it's all about, as she calls it, rousing the sleeping giant of American women. So I've had a chance to know Marianne for a number of years and do some work with her and have been a fan of her work for a long time.
Yeah, we have a little coincidence here. You know, yeah? I got to see her live at now Glide Memorial.
Oh yeah,
and that was something that you hooked up.
That's right. Yeah, so it was funny. A number of years ago, my wife Michelle and I—I mean, one of the connecting factors that Michelle and I have in our relationship, actually, the night we went out on our very first date, Michelle. And I got to talking, and we were talking about different people we liked and respected and admired. And I actually had on the table in my apartment sitting there a copy of one of Marianne's books. And it turned out to be a really good way to impress my, you know, the first date with my then became new girlfriend and now wife, Michelle, because she was so impressed that I knew who Marianne was and read her books. And anyway, so we've both been fans of her and her work for a long time. And we got to know Marianne back in 2003. Through a couple different things. And one of them, Michelle and I were both working on the presidential campaign for Congressman Dennis Kucinich. And we were down in Santa Cruz at an event. Marianne and Dennis both spoke at this event. And afterwards, there was a small gathering that we got invited to, and Marianne was there. We got talking, said we lived in San Francisco, and we went to Glide Memorial Church, which is a big church here in the city. And Marianne said, oh, I love that place. I'd love to speak there. And we said, really? Well, we'll see what we can do to help you speak there. So along with a friend of ours who was in the choir at Glide, we got Marianne invited to speak here in San Francisco, and it was probably like August or September of 2003, and she came, and that was one of the ways that Michelle and I got to know her better and started to work with her more specifically. And it turns out, David, you were there that day.
Yeah, that was so inspiring. Yeah. I just love that. That was so cool. And, you know, I love Glide, and I love that she wanted to be a part of it because Glide is such a, you know, a welcoming, embracive kind of environment. It was the first time I ever went to a church or any kind of religious organization, and I felt welcome.
Nice.
And I cried. I actually probably will still cry again the next time I go.
It's beautiful.
I cry every time, you know. I'm just so glad to see so many people coming together and really just focusing on unconditional love.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place. Any of you who live here in the Bay Area, or if you ever come and visit to San Francisco, check out Glide Memorial Church. It's a great place. And we're so excited and honored that Marianne's going to be joining us here hopefully shortly to talk about this event, Sister Giant, in Los Angeles and the work that she's doing, really inspiring and challenging and calling forth women here in the United States and around the Western world and around the country, I mean, around the whole globe, I should say, as well as men, all of us, to really wake up and be, as Marianne likes to say, conscious citizens. That's one of the many things that I have learned from her in the years I've gotten to know her and really gotten more deeply in her into her work. So what we're going to do here is take a break and see if we can get Marianne on the phone in the midst of her busy schedule getting ready for this big event down in Los Angeles. Again, go to her website, marianne.com. Find out more about her work and specifically about this event, Sister Giant. Again, it's in Los Angeles, February 26th, 27th, 28th at the Sheraton Gateway. And when we come back from the break, I think we're going to have Marianne on with us, and it's going to be very exciting. So definitely stay with us. Tell your friends. The show's on live right now. You can listen if you are tuning in here at 2:06 p.m. Pacific time on the 19th of February. We'll be right back, and we'll have Marianne Williamson with us.
Straight from the heart of Mother Nature's glistening oceans to your pulse. While the world views pearls as symbols of beauty and wealth, for centuries, pearls have been revered as a fountain of health among naturopaths in Egypt, China, India, and Mayan cultures. For the first time in North America, Pearlseum presents pearl powder in its purest form as a health supplement. Pearlseum's patent-pending manufacturing process is revolutionary and unlike any other. After years of research, Dr. Rulan Xu has unlocked the secret of extraction of pure signal proteins from pearls. And the result? The most authentic composition of bioavailable pearl signal proteins that assist to rejuvenate the skin, bone, and vital organs. Modern science confirms what ancient medics have proven to be true, that pearl powder regenerates skin, increases collagen levels, and enhances longevity. Scientific studies using sheep prove that pearl powder can be integral to bone regeneration and substitution. Rooted in traditional wisdom and enhanced by Pearlseum is your key to radiant health, beauty, well-being, and prosperity. Become a distributor and you will be privy to a cutting-edge and revolutionary supplement. You will bring an ancient secret to light and empower thousands of people. While you inspire thousands to lead a healthy and vibrant life, you will build a solid foundation for you and your family. To order this amazing product today or to start your path to prosperity by becoming a distributor, contact Pearlseum International. Call 1-866-446-2015.
And now more of Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins.
Hey there. Welcome back to Let's Get Real here with me, Mike Robbins, on Energy Talk Radio. So glad you are joining us here, and I'm very excited to introduce our special guest for today's show that I'm honored has taken some time out of her busy schedule to join us. Let me tell you a little bit about Marianne Williamson. I'm sure you already know, but I'll just remind you. Anyway, Marianne is an internationally acclaimed spiritual teacher. Her most recent book, The Age of Miracles, hit number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list. And among her other 9 published books, 4 of them, including A Return to Love, were number 1 New York Times bestsellers. She's considered just and is one of the foremost thought leaders in what we now think of and refer to as the New Thought Movement. But Marianne has been lecturing and writing and teaching for over 25 years all over the country, all over the world. And she has a podcast as well as a radio show on the Oprah Network and has been a popular guest on shows like Oprah and Larry King, Good Morning America, Charlie Rose, and so many others. And as I was saying before the break, I've gotten a chance to know Marianne and work with her over the last number of years. My wife Michelle and I got involved in an organization called the Global Renaissance Alliance that Marianne founded. And she, I've probably seen Marianne speak live 50, 60, 70 times, no kidding. And every single time, including just a few months ago when she was here in the Bay Area speaking at a church just in our neighborhood, inspires me, teaches me. I learn new things about myself, about life, about spirituality, and specifically, more than anyone I've ever met and been around, she has inspired me and so many others, millions of people, to really be conscious citizens, to take our personal and spiritual practice and bring it into how we relate to engaging in what's going on in the world, what's going on politically. And she has created this fantastic event that we're going to talk a lot about on here in today's show called Sister Giant down in Los Angeles, which is happening next weekend, February 26th, 27th, 28th. And it's all about, as Marianne likes to say, and the subtitle of it is Rousing the Sleeping Giant of American Womanhood. So, Marianne Williamson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so grateful
you're here.
I'm sure you're very, very busy getting ready for this event next weekend in Los Angeles. And, you know, so many people I've been talking to and emailing with, and I've seen people post on Facebook and Twitter and all over the place. There's all these women from all over the country, all over the world that are excited about Sister Giant and this event and this movement, really, that you've put together. So what was or what is the inspiration of this event and what you're doing next weekend and in general right now, Marianne?
Well, 17,000 children die on this earth every day of hunger. That's one every 5 seconds. Mm. And obviously, for any conscious person, this feels very unacceptable.
Yes.
So one of the things I read that was really compelling to me is that in any advanced mammalian species that survives and thrives, there is a common characteristic, and that is the fierce behavior on the part of the adult female when she senses a threat to her cubs.
Mm.
And, you know, if you look at the lion and you look at the tiger and you look at the mama bear, how fierce they get, you know. The adult hyenas, even the adult female hyenas, encircle the babies while they're feeding and will not let the adult males get anywhere near the food until the babies have been fed. That's so astonishing to see how the adult female in yeah. other species shows up. So I thought, well, surely the women of America could do better than the hyenas.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by history. I'm fascinated by why American women are so quiet. And I think, you know, I'm fascinated by how difficult so many people make it for the American woman to express her voice so
yes.
often.
Yes.
And there are very deep forces both within and without that are responsible for that. And so I think that the American woman is ready to take a step forward in a way that we have not been able to and have not been ready to. I think that there were some external chains that bound us, which have fallen away. And I think that now we're ready for some internal chains that have bound us to fall away.
Mm.
So I see so many things in history and so many things in both external and internal, which are situations ripe for change. And I read these things and I watch these things and I just thought, wow, so many women would be as excited by this as I am.
Mm.
And so I thought, we'll have one weekend. And I teamed up for this with an organization called Results,
yeah.
That is anti-hunger and anti-poverty, a nonprofit that I know is doing great work. And so by the end of this weekend, every woman will feel plugged in, you know, whether she feels that the greater dimension of power that she's found within herself is something that she is ready to stand on just in terms of her attitudes and her energy,
mm.
or whether at the end of the weekend she is ready to take action
mm.
and be part of the actual lobbying efforts and the activism to end hunger, both in the United States and internationally. Even here in the States, Mike, one every four children, one in four American children are hungry.
Mm.
One in four American children are hungry.
Yeah.
Well, if the American woman decided that that's just absolutely unacceptable, it would change.
Yeah. And what is it, Marianne, specifically you think about American women? What's unique in terms of, you know, because you were saying there's been forces within and without holding back, but now there's been some change. And what is it specifically you think this, I love how you say rousing the sleeping giant of American womanhood.
Well, part of the history is so interesting here, going all the way back to the Inquisition. Because most American women do come from white European descent.
Mm-hmm.
And even those who don't, all of us are, like my parents came from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents came from Russia. Black women, obviously, their ancestors did not come from Europe. However, the energies and attitudes that were cultivated here
yes.
Primarily came from that lineage.
Right.
And several hundred years ago, they were burning women at the stake
mm-hmm.
throughout Europe. Some historians say up to 800,000 women. And this was an effort on the part of the early church to eradicate all remnants of the pagan culture. Now, in those pagan cultures, women were fully empowered as priestesses, and they were supported as such, and they were the midwives, and they were the herbalists, and they held ceremonies that kept people in a sense of divine partnership with nature, as opposed to the energies being ushered in by the early church, which gave humanity permission to dominate nature. That was really the beginning of the environmental crisis.
Mm.
So I think our understanding of what happened there, understanding that if you have, 300 years during which women of intuitive and ceremonial and ritualistic power were likely to be burned at the stake, then you better believe by the end of that period, women had been trained to keep their mouths shut.
Mm.
Then you have, and of course, a lot of this continues to this day, where women who speak their mind and have strong opinions, even if they have done something powerful behind it, we still have not, in all cases, routed out of our consciousness a suspicion of the powerful woman. And I think that there's a lot of learning that goes on in society with that. So one of the things we're going to do in the Sister Giant weekend is we're going to actually watch a film called The Burning Times, made by the Canadian Film Board, about that phenomenon, so that women will understand this female Holocaust. They will understand not only the historical context of their own relative complacency and quietude, but also mourn that part of ourselves and grieve what has happened.
Yeah.
Then the second film that we're going to watch on Saturday morning is an HBO special that was on a while ago, starring Hilary Swank, called Iron-Jawed Angels, that's about the women's suffrage movement. You know, so many American women just don't know our own history. We don't know that before the suffrage movement, if a woman, let's say, was being violently beaten and her children beaten by a drunken husband, let's say, every single night, her only recourse is she could divorce him. But if she divorced him, number one, she could not take the children. They were his. The children had to be left with him.
Mm.
Number two, the only property she could take would be the clothes on her back, plus a suitcase with whatever she could put in this one suitcase. Any money that was hers, even if she brought it into the marriage, remained his.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the women's suffrage in the 19th Amendment was only in 1921. That's less than 100 years ago.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then the third film that we're going to watch is Pray the Devil Back to Hell, which is a marvelous documentary about Liberian women and what they did in their own civil war. So at the end of that, you feel like, wow, if this is what Liberian women have done, what could we do were we to become a serious collective force?
Right. Again, we're talking to best-selling author, spiritual teacher Marianne Williamson about her fantastic event that's coming up next weekend in Los Angeles, February 26, 27, 28 at the Sheraton Gateway. If you go to Marianne's website, marianne.com, and that's M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, marianne.com, the first thing you see right on the homepage there is information about Sister Giant. You can click on that to find out more about it and register. There's even a little video, Marianne, talking about it. Now, Marianne, for people who are listening, for women who are listening to this, and feel a sense or a calling to this, but maybe have a concern like, gosh, I'm not that political. I haven't really engaged in this. What can you say to them?
I feel sorry for any woman who lives only for herself. And I feel sorry for any man who lives only for himself. Because I think that what we're all looking for now is a sense that we are part of something bigger.
Yes.
I think a lot of people felt that they participated in something bigger than themselves with the Obama campaign.
Yes.
But I think now that he's been president a year, it's very obvious that we need to do more than just elect one man.
Yeah. What do you think that's about, by the way, that all of a sudden so many people who got so excited and enthused, and now all of a sudden, where have they all gone?
Well, he's been a much more moderate corporate president than we expected him to be.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. And this doesn't serve anybody to deny that.
Yes.
Simply what is.
Okay.
And that's a whole conversation. We could have a whole show about that.
Sure, that's a whole separate thing.
But, it's not really separate, though.
Okay.
During the campaign, President Obama said that he wanted the United States to contribute $2 billion to Jumpstart and Global Education Fund, where we would address the fact that 75 million children on this planet can't even get a elementary school education.
Hmm.
But since he's been president, he's never mentioned it again.
Right.
So what we have is a government that is run by money, pure and simple.
Sure.
So there are all kinds of things that happen, and you know, people in power say, "Oh, we can't do that. The banks won't let us, or we can't do that. The pharmaceuticals won't let us, or we can't do that. The Wall Street won't let us, or we can't do that. The health insurance companies won't let us," meaning
right.
that they will pay money to defeat us in campaigns. Well, I envision a day when, if you're talking about taking money away from children, people in power will know, can't do that. The women won't let us.
Mm.
Right? Because small, hungry children, starving children, do not have they do not have economic leverage. They
right.
represent no vested financial interest. All they have is us.
Right.
And I feel as a woman that no matter whether we are biological mothers or not, whether we are house, you know, homemakers or not, this earth is our home.
Yes.
And every child on it is one of our children. So I think in order to fully embody the selfhood, you know, and that really is the answer to your question.
Yes.
In order for us to feel good about ourselves, in order for us to feel power, the only way you can feel powerful in life is if you're exhibiting your power.
Right. Yeah.
And women don't always have an easy time, because not every person out there will say, oh, here, let me make it easier for you.
Right. That's true.
But that's really all the, that is the conversation we need to have and dismantle forces that within ourselves as well as within the society that would really obstruct the free flow of this voice among women.
Yeah.
And then you add to all that that, you know, my work is about internal forces. And so the weekend is not just about things that happen on the outside.
Sure.
The Sister Giant Weekend is very much about things that happen on the inside.
Mm.
Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically.
Yeah.
It's going to be an exciting weekend. I think that every woman who is there, you know, I'm very passionate about this because it brings together my interest in spirituality and the evolutionary process.
Yes.
With my work with activism and my passion about what women can do. So all three of these things, it's something very unique, and I can personally say no woman will be sorry if she comes.
Well, I know a lot of women from here in the Bay Area that are going down and very excited about it. I'm sure you have women from all over the country and probably around the world who are coming and very excited. And so, you know, one of the things, Marianne, that I've always been incredibly inspired by you and your work and how it's impacted me personally, and I was saying this as I was introducing you, is really bringing the worlds of spiritual awareness, our own spiritual evolution, our own consciousness that so many of us and so many people listening to the show are interested in and drawn to, and that's part of their life and their work and what they're doing, and at the same time, actively having that be an expression of our spiritual practice, if you will, being engaged in what's happening in our communities and in our country and in our world. So for everyone listening, and you know, go to Marianne's website, again, marianne.com, find out more information about Sister Giant, and you know, get yourself to Los Angeles next weekend if you can. Now, will there be any men there, or what?
Well, you know, it's funny, Mike. I've said to guys in the audience here in L.A., you can come, you just can't say anything.
Okay, that's fine.
I also want to mention that while there is a $250 tuition, we are waiving that for any woman who feels, many women are getting partial scholarships, some women who say they really have nothing, no financial base to give, they're coming. You know, there are partial and full scholarships available.
Yeah.
So I don't want any woman to feel that this is something she couldn't make because of money.
Yes, great.
And well, that, once again, if somebody goes to marianne.com, and you know, clicks the page and all of that, you see that you can write to Beatrice and all that will be taken care of.
Yeah. Well, so, and in addition, so the films will be going on. Obviously, I imagine you'll be speaking and sharing and teaching and inspiring a lot. And now you talked about the organization Results that you partnered with.
Mm-hmm.
So will there be opportunities for people to, you know, learn and get some training? I know I've seen you speak over the years and gone to conferences where you've done some fantastic training on how to actually engage and lobby. And for many of us, even being intelligent and well-educated, we haven't engaged as fully as we could, and we don't know some basic, you know, civics of the United States and how we can really participate in the process. Is some of that going to be involved?
Oh, very much so. You know, you were mentioning before the Global Renaissance Alliance, which was then renamed the Peace Alliance. And that was an organization that I founded and then turned into a campaign to establish the U.S. Department of Peace.
Yes.
And the whole purpose of that for me, it was not just about that piece of legislation. It was about the fact that too many people didn't know how to support a piece of legislation.
Yes.
It wasn't to be, you know, originally just because of that piece of legislation, but that too many people didn't know how to lobby. They didn't know about going to Washington. That's really why that organization was established.
Yep.
And I feel the same way. This is a continuation of that with an organization that I can feel really, you know, impeccable about this organization,
yeah,
having had a history of work in anti-hunger and anti-poverty. So what they do is exactly that. They teach people how to make a difference.
Mm.
Now, some people are more interested in domestic hunger and
yes,
poverty issues. Once again, here in the United States, one in four children are hungry, considered food insecure. Or if people are interested in the international piece, 17,000 children that die of hunger every day. You know, ultimately, we need to realize that, you know, my father used to point to a globe and say, God didn't draw a line between France and Spain. God didn't draw a line between
yes,
Canada and the United States. I mean, ultimately, we need to get past my children versus your children.
Mm.
You know, children here versus children there. We're living in a time on the planet when if anybody's child is not safe, ultimately none of our children are safe.
Mm.
So, you know, large groups of desperate people anywhere, whether they're in a corner of a city in America or a corner of the world, become a national security risk for us.
Yes.
And they become more prey to ideological capture, whether by gang members or by Al-Qaeda. So this is something for all of us to work on. And you're right, some people just don't know what they can do.
Right.
But with an organization like Results, all of Sunday morning is going to be a training,
yeah,
how you can get involved in a Results chapter in
nice,
your city. And some women will feel moved to go to the microcredit, Mideast Microcredit Conference in Nairobi, Kenya, April 6th through 10th. I will be going.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, if a woman is passionate about the domestic work, she'll be trained how to make a difference there. If she's passionate about the international work, she will be trained how to make a difference there.
Mm. Well, and you know, I mean, I know you said the thing about men are welcome, they just can't say anything, but in a larger context related to this event, Sister Giant, that you're having next weekend in Los Angeles, as well as, you know, the larger movement here of your work and really, you know, again, I love rousing the sleeping giant of American womanhood. Where do we factor into this process?
Well, obviously the Sister Giant Conference is just one piece of
right,
a gigantic global, you know, uprising of humanity at
yes,
this point. I don't claim to have any monopoly on the good work, you know.
Right.
So even if you take something like the Results Organization, that's not a woman's organization.
Right.
That is men and women. I just feel that there are specific issues
yes,
that keep women quiet that men have not dealt with. I mean, men have definite men's issues.
We do.
And women have women's issues.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not like one is more important than the other.
Right.
But there are times when, just as when men join, and I'm sure you've probably been in a men's group.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are things that happen there when
absolutely,
men are just talking among themselves.
Yeah.
It's not that they're excluding women. It's just
right,
that there's a conversation that's a man's conversation with other men.
Yes.
And that's what this is about. It's not that it excludes men. It's just that if we're talking about witch burning and we're talking about the women's suffrage movement, there's a power to women
yes,
learning about and seeing what these women in Liberia have done. It's just this weekend is that, you know, it's a woman's conversation.
Yes.
It's not exclusionary. It's just that this is something that we need to talk about. And just that there's power when men get in a room and talk, there's power when women
yes,
get in a room. You know, it's interesting. When I was looking back and thinking about back in the days when men would be building the barn and women would be doing the sewing circles, there was something powerful going on there.
Yep.
I know in the Jewish religion, when someone dies, there's a thing where the men go in and they do certain prayers and the women are going in the kitchen and they're preparing the food. Well, when I was young, I thought there was something uncool about that.
Right.
Now I don't realize. I see it very, very differently.
Yeah.
There is something powerful when the men do their thing and the women do their thing. And then
yes,
they come back together at a higher level.
Absolutely.
Because when a woman has really been engaged with other women, she becomes more of a woman.
Yes.
And, you know, if she's a heterosexual woman, she has that much more to bring to a man when she's there and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I think that women we're quiet in ways we must no longer be quiet in this society.
Yeah.
And I think that we have a conversation among ourselves about dismantling that very, very dark dark force of relative quietude. We talk a lot, but we talk about things that don't ultimately matter too much. You know what
yeah.
I mean? We chatter.
Yes.
We talk, but it's almost like we keep talking, hoping that we'll figure out what it is we're supposed to be saying.
Yeah, it's really great. We're talking to best-selling author, spiritual teacher, activist Marianne Williamson. Marianne, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk even more about what's going to be happening in Los Angeles next weekend at Marianne's Sister Giant event that she's put together. Again, you can go to her website, marianne.com, M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, marianne.com, for more information about Sister Giant, to register for the conference happening in Los Angeles the 26th, 27th, 28th of February, next Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Sheraton Gateway. And when we come back, we'll talk even more specifically about what else is going to be going on at this powerful event. Thanks for tuning in here to Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back with Marianne Williamson.
Put yourself into the driver's seat of your own destiny during two very special upcoming live events with Dr. Fred Alan Wolf and Joey Yap this February and March at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco. Join Fred Alan Wolf from What the Bleep, also known as Dr. Quantum, as he demystifies the energy within and around us, explaining the quantum physics of energy and how powerful we really are. Friday, February 19th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco. The following month, world-renowned feng shui consultant and Chinese astrologer Joey Yap joins Fred Alan Wolf together on stage when Eastern energy meets Western science as these two experts collaborate on stage together for you to learn how quantum physics parallel and intersect with ancient energy practices to show you how it really, really works. Don't miss this opportunity to be live with Fred Alan Wolf on February 19th and again with Joey Yap on March 19th at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to www.energybydesignseminars.com. That's energybydesignseminars.com.
Hey there, welcome back to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins, here on Energy Talk Radio. Glad you're with us today live with Marianne Williamson, best-selling author, spiritual teacher, and the creator of the Sister Giant event happening in Los Angeles next weekend, February 26th, 27th, 28th. At the Sheraton Gateway. You can go to marianne.com for more information and to register. And I highly, highly recommend every woman listening to go to this conference. Do whatever you can to be there. It's going to be a phenomenal event. I've been to a number of events that Marianne has put on in California, in Washington, D.C., other places. This one will be unique in its focus, clearly, rousing the sleeping giant of American womanhood. But I'm excited. All the people I know that who are going are excited. So Marianne, I mean, you've talked about, you know, women being engaged in action, inspired to, you know, focus on what they're passionate about and go do it. What do you really hope that they'll be able to take away and do after the event next weekend?
Well, you know, Mike, only 20% of the world's population has direct governmental influence.
Mm-hmm.
Only 20%.
That's amazing.
So Americans and other Western industrialized nations and other democracies, India, etc., we have the power. You know, sometimes we act like we don't.
Right.
The issue is not the power that we don't have. The issue is the power we're not using.
Yeah.
And that's what so much of my work has been dedicated to, is the fact that there have been very designed and strategized forces of obfuscation over the last, particularly 50 years in the United States, almost designed to make people not realize how much power we do have. And most Americans, you know, and I've seen it over and over with the work with the Peace Alliance, that Americans didn't realize, oh, I can go visit my congressperson.
Yes.
Oh, I can make a call to my congressperson. Oh, I can support a piece of legislation. You know, when you have corporate lobbyists who visit our congresspeople every single day in multitudinous numbers, then it's not enough for them to just hear from us every 4 years or every 2 years. So what excites me is watching people wake up. Now, when you look at women, look at what Mothers Against Drunk Driving did. Look at the civil rights movement. Look at the women's suffrage movement. I mean, there have been times in history where women and men who had a fraction of the social and political power that we have used the power that they had in much more forceful ways. So, as I said before, I look forward to the day when there is a sense in Congress and in the White House that the American woman is watching. So if you're going to be spending more billions of dollars, let's take something like our nuclear bombs. We have something like 3,000 deployed, 7,000 in reserve. Now, you tell me, Mike, how after, I mean, 20 at the most, and we'd all be dead already anyway.
Right.
Maybe 30. I mean, you know, so we have thousands and thousands and thousands. What's that called? It's called big business. It's called big business. Now, President Obama is definitely trying to reduce those numbers and reduce them drastically, and I give him kudos for that, and I think we should all be grateful. But how did it even get that way? How did it even get that way? Well, I feel that if American women were on it, this would never have even grown like this. It was Eisenhower, Eisenhower's presidency, that ended in 1960, where he was warning us about the military-industrial complex. So, you know, as a father, you have children. There's something that happens in a parent when sometimes you end up saying, this or that simply will not happen in this house. It's dangerous. It's simply not going to happen here. That will not happen here. And that's how we have to become as parents. That's how we have to become as people who care about our grandchildren and the future of our country and the future of our planet. Certain things simply will not happen here. I will not look away. I will become involved. And there are many ways and many types of issues that people can become involved. So I'm not saying that Sister Giant is more important than any other issue. I'm not saying hunger is more important. I'm not saying women are more important. I'm just saying that for women who recognize this dimension of women acting together, women rising up, women understanding why we haven't to the extent to which we haven't, understanding our history so that we have facts. I think a lot of women, sometimes, Mike, women, I think women are embarrassed more easily than men. We are embarrassed into silence more easily than men. We're more used to being attacked and criticized and unsupported if we do speak up. So we have so many issues going on that just keep us like, better not to even try. So as soon as we have to look closely at these issues and dismantle so that we become smarter about choosing allies and we become smarter about how we go about doing things that might make a difference. And that's, you know, if a woman feels there's something there for me, I want to know more about the history of women. I want to know more about the history of women in America. One of the people, I hired a woman, Mike, who is a professor at UCLA on women's history in the United States. So after we see this movie about the women's suffrage movie, she'll be there to answer any questions that women have.
Nice.
So women are going to leave that weekend with a kick-ass amount of information, you know?
Nice.
And information is power, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I've heard you speak very passionately and poignantly about this, talking to women specifically about, like, stop apologizing for yourself. And, you know, that sense of, you know, say more about that, because that seems to be cultural for women in this culture in particular. Like, there's almost an apology for being powerful, an apology for being well-informed, or a fear of, if I step forward and say that, then whatever will happen, or
well,
I'll be considered.
Well, you know, when I founded an organization called the Department, it was GRA that became Peace Alliance, and I spent almost $300,000 starting that organization. And it was my mailing list of my entire career. It's gone back 26 years. And it was my audience and my work all over the country, you know, telling people about it and setting up tables and stuff. And I think a lot of people have had this starting nonprofits. I felt like, well, it was my money, and that was a lot of money, and my mailing list, and my, you know, people all around the country. So I felt, wait a minute, if I paid for it, and I was my mailing list, and it was my, then of course, why wouldn't it be what I think should happen? That was the whole point of setting up the organization, so that it could be and expression in the nonprofit world of these political and social ideas. And people were like, well, who are you? Why should it be what you want? And I'm like, okay, $300,000, my mailing list, why shouldn't it be? And I found with my colleagues, male colleagues, Deepak Chopra, et cetera, when they've started nonprofits, there's never been a question about that.
Yeah.
But that was an example in my life where I was made to feel that I was somehow like, who was I to call the shots, when I thought, well, that's why I should call the shots. And then what can happen with women, Mike, is that when we are not supported in those ways, then we get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, you know, like, you know, defensive.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they say, well, really, it's about you because you're angry and defensive.
Mm.
And once we understand this game and we can recognize our mistakes more clearly, we can recognize the mistakes of other people more clearly, but also know that there is this deep-seated prejudice, there's deep-seated misogyny, and deep-seated mistakes within ourselves.
Mm.
But this is one of the reasons why I know when I went through that situation, I was like, this would never have happened to a man. Nobody would say, you know, if Deepak Chopra sets up an organization, nobody's going to doubt that it should be whatever Deepak wants.
Right.
So these are the kinds of things I've experienced and that many, many women have experienced.
Mm.
And I hope that people who have been part of those dramas can begin to see more clearly really what goes on in these situations.
Mm.
And, you know, we're all learning and we're all growing.
Right.
And I was talking to, I can't remember her, she's a friend of yours, Yvonne, you know, those marvelous people from Challenge Day.
Absolutely, Richard.
And
Yvonne.
I was talking to her about this one day, and she was talking about the fact that when they set up their organization, they had the wisdom to set it up from the beginning.
Yes.
Where certain things could not be done to them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we learn, but
sure.
That's just what happens.
Well, and, you know, as it relates to, I mean, obviously the Sister Giant Conference next weekend in L.A. is, you know, for women and women of all ages, right? I mean, young women, old, wherever. But how does this, I mean, I'm speaking now or asking this question in a very personal way as the father of two little girls. How do we empower our little girls in our culture here to, you know, learn from this and...
Well, if you had sons, I'd say how important it is to empower your little boys, too, to be more supportive of women and to recognize how much women need support from allies.
Yes.
Who will recognize the entirety of the situation.
Mm.
So it's not just how we raise our little girls, it's also how we raise our little boys.
Yes.
I have no doubt, knowing you and knowing your wife, I'm sure your children are being brought up magnificently, and I'm sure that they are being brought up in a very empowered way.
Mm.
But one of the things that your daughters will have that women of my generation did not have is a greater wisdom and perspicacity about how to navigate power.
Mm.
That's what happens, you know, when you have, and this is true of people of color, it's true of women, we haven't been exercising power for that long. And so it's like with men. There are rules of war that white men tend to understand better.
Mm.
They were given sports and they were given war and in business. I think in women, because we didn't have power, when we started exercising it, I know for myself, just speaking for myself, I didn't know how to exercise it as elegantly as I might. And I did not know how to protect myself. And I did not, there were many aspects of myself I just didn't know.
Mm.
And obviously others around me were as unconscious as I.
Mm.
But I think that these are the things that are being worked out. And I think things like Sister Giant is an example. I look forward to talking to women about these issues. But the good news in terms of your question is that by the time your little girls are raised, you know, every generation, my father used to say, every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation before it.
Yeah.
And so your little girls will have their own issues.
Sure.
But some of these issues, I think, will have been worked out by then.
Yeah. Again, we're talking to Marianne Williamson, bestselling author and spiritual teacher, about her big event in Los Angeles happening next weekend, the Sister Giant event. You can go to marianne.com. As she was saying, the tuition for the event is $250. But if that's an issue for you or for anyone, there are scholarships, partial scholarships or full scholarships available. That's not a reason not to go. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic event. Marianne, now will people have opportunities to, you know, ask you questions, engage?
Absolutely. It's going to be very exciting. This is what we're going to do. Let's say on Friday night we're going to watch this show called the Burning Times.
Right.
Then we're going to sit around in circles of five, and every woman is going to share what she got from that, what she learned, and then we will go back around, and very quick, like a minute, and then we will go around the circle again. Where has she felt burned?
Mm.
Where has she felt that she was burned for standing in her power?
Yeah.
Then the next morning, like I said, we're going to watch a women's suffrage movie with Hilary Swank that's very entertaining as well as very informative. And we have Ellen Dubois, Professor Dubois from UCLA, who I know, Mike, at the end of that, women are going to have so many questions.
Sure.
And she's going to be there to answer all of them, which I find exciting.
Yep.
Then in the afternoon, we are going to watch They Pray the Devil Back to Hell. And through all of this, Mike, I'm going to be doing processes and all my teaching.
Yeah.
And then on a Saturday afternoon, we are going to have a woman named Chris Gumm from up in San Francisco, the Women's Funding Network, that deals with women's philanthropy, talking about a real strategy that they have by which, you know, if women want to completely change this world around, this is how it's done. Then on Sunday morning, we are going to have Sam Daly Harris and others from the Results Organization. And that's when you really learn. If you want to lobby against hunger and poverty and really make a difference, this is how it's done. In the ways that you were talking about before, Mike, will women actually be trained?
Yes.
And within that, there will be so much conversation. And even after the suffrage movie, we'll do again, you know, the sitting around in groups of five and women sharing.
Yeah.
You know, you. I know for myself, I watch this stuff and I go, this is so incredible. I didn't know.
Mm.
And then that's one of the reasons I'm doing the weekend, because I feel like other women I know will be as excited learning all this as I have been. And the pieces start to fall together. And they start falling together, not only in terms of the world and in terms of our culture, but in terms of ourselves.
Mm. Well, and as we move in this direction, I mean, you know, looking at sort of, you know, vision of this and, you know, even bigger, obviously, than this event, but this awareness, this greater consciousness, what would our country, and particularly governmentally and societally, look like if more of these feminine principles, this sleeping giant of American womanhood, were even more engaged in the way you want it to? What would that look like, Mary?
Well, when women and men are more engaged, which
yes.
I think is really the ultimate issue.
Absolutely.
What has happened in the last 50 years in American society is that there has been a massive acceleration of wealth upward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Rutherford B. Hayes said, we've become less a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and more a government of the corporations, by the corporations, for the corporations. Until we have publicly financed campaigns, political campaigns, money will continue its very corrupt influence.
Yes.
Until we have probably a constitutional amendment declaring that corporations do not have personhood rights the way individuals do.
Yes.
Until those kinds of changes are made, then I'm afraid that this massive acceleration of wealth upward will continue.
Mm.
And what's happening now is exactly what is inevitable because of that. The poorest of the poor suffer. You know, if you look at, if you look at, and more people become poor, which is what's happening right now.
Right.
If you look at the last century, the 20th century was the bloodiest century on record.
Right.
100 million people died in war. Well, the majority of them were women and children.
Yeah.
These are, you know, the women and children are the ones who bear the greatest brunt of all this, because they do not represent vested economic interest.
Right.
So if you're going to give the country to those who have the most money, you just left out women and children.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and these children too often then are lured into gangs, and too often lured into Al-Qaeda and groups like that, because where there's that much despair, there is more vulnerability to ideological capture. You know, desperate people are a national security risk, because out of desperate communities, there is so much pathology that is almost inevitable.
Mm.
So women, as the nurturers, as the homemakers, whether it's the environmental issues or whether it's taking care of our children, this is the female archetype, to take care of our home and to take care of our children. So I think people, I just want to say this, both men and women, I think that there's a lot of waking up that's going on.
Yes.
I think that the Obama campaign, and I know you yourself were very enamored of that, very mm-hmm. participatory,
yes.
For the same reason as the rest of us were.
Yeah.
And I think you probably in the last year have, like the rest of us, looked at what's happening and going, wow.
Yeah.
It's obviously a deeper, it goes even deeper than we thought, right? Am I right?
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I mean, I've been, you know, shocked. I've been disappointed. I've mm-hmm. been sad. Mm-hmm. And it's been with him. It's been with the whole mm-hmm. process. It's also, though, I've at times been with all of us, because I do feel like, and I'll first look at myself, I got all excited and inspired and engaged, and I haven't been as much. It's not that I haven't been at all.
Yes, but Mike, we weren't told how. Nobody asked us to.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that was just your issue.
Yes.
We were not included.
Right.
Once he got there, let's be honest.
Well, and I do think one of the brilliant aspects of many of his campaign was the way that people were, I felt, personally included.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think is missing right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
And it's not about a candidate. It's not about a personality. It's not even about a political party. It's about engaging and feeling included in the process. And you're right. I do feel left out. Like, what happened? Even the emails and the text messages and what's going on? Where are those? You know?
That's right.
So I think that's
exactly right. I spoke last week, actually, a few days ago at the Tikkun conference up in San Francisco.
Beautiful.
And talked just about that. I mean, this is really, I think we're just taking in the reality of what you're saying. It's huge.
Yes.
And hugely important. And like, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, and I think what I love about what you're doing, and I've always loved about your work, and is just, but there's a responsibility, though, that we have to start demanding that we're part of this, that, you know, it's not, you know, and I think in some ways, I mean, we demanded that in this campaign, and we showed, hey, you got to include people if you really want to do it in a new way. But we haven't done that. Maybe he and the administration and the structures that be haven't done that. So the same is true in terms of actually governing and how the country works.
Well, but then that goes back to the other conversation. You know, I wrote an article at the very beginning of January that I put on Huffington Post. I don't know if you read the article. But it was pointing out what you said, which is, hey, what happened? I didn't know that this is what we voted for.
Right.
And I there were 1,800 comments on Huffington Post, but the majority of them were negative. They were positive until the so-called spiritual crowd found it.
Mm.
And then it was, how could you not be more loving to the president?
Mm.
Which is an odd view of loving. You know, if your friend has food in their teeth, the supportive thing to do is to tell them.
That's right.
And then after I think Scott Brown won in Massachusetts, that article looked sort of prescient. And I think the president did sort of wake up a bit.
Yes.
But when you say demanding, and that goes back to a conversation that you and I have had really for years and that we were having on this phone call, when we get quote-unquote demanding, hello, I mean, you of all people, on one hand you just said to me we need to demand, and yet on the other hand, I know how you get when a woman is demanding. So that's a real mixed message there.
Yes, you're right.
Thank you.
You're right. Yeah, it's big. Well, you know, Marianne, I'm sure we could talk for more hours. We're unfortunately out of time. And,
well, please know how grateful I am to you for allowing me to be on the program talking about this. I'm really grateful to you.
Absolutely. Well, you're welcome, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us and inspire us and do the great work that you're doing. Again, we've been talking to Marianne Williamson about her event, Sister Giant, which takes place in Los Angeles at the Sheraton Gateway Hotel down there next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 26th, 27th, 28th of February. Go to her website, marianne.com, for more information, to register, get yourself and every woman you know to the conference. It's going to be fantastic, and you will be very, very pleased, inspired, in action, and it's all about, as Marianne says, rousing the sleeping giant of American womanhood. So, Marianne, thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Mike, very, very much.
And have a fantastic event. I wish I could be there. I'll be there in spirit, and we'll be sending lots of people.
Thank you.
And keep up the great work.
I so appreciate it. God bless. Bye.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Mike Robbins here on Let's Get Real, Energy Talk Radio. So glad you joined us. What an honor to have Marianne Williamson on the show with us today. Get to that great event in Los Angeles. Check out her website, marianne.com. And we look forward to the next time we connect. Make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. For more information about Mike's work, his seminars, and his best-selling books, please